Hey guys, we get to another episode of When the Scriptures Become Real. It's again a podcast where we learn, where we study, where we grow. We try to become the best versions of ourselves as we can, as we continue to serve our Lord. Can you guys find the podcast on YouTube or anywhere else you can get your podcast? We're just so thankful you guys are here, you found us, and that you guys are with us today. All right, I can't believe we're already here. We're here at our finale of the Rahab series. Your guys' involvement, your excitement in these series and these studies, and basically every podcast is just so incredible. And I just want to thank you guys for your interaction, for your zeal to want to know more and to be more like Jesus as Jesus is revealed throughout these Old Testament scriptures. We're just so thankful for you guys' study, and we're really glad that you guys are here. Okay, so Rahab part three. Rahab part three. So here's where we want to go with this. We actually stopped in verse 13 last week. Now remember the premise of the first two, right? Based off of Ezekiel chapter 37. The younger sister, right? The younger harlot, aka Rahab, was going to help and save the older harlot, aka Israel, right? So the younger is going to save the older. Now, the last thing that we saw was, remember, Rahab showed her faith in God because of what she said. And the thing she was saying in part two was essentially the things God had been saying all the way back from the Exodus, right? So now we see that Rahab's faith in God is growing. And the last thing that we see is that Rahab is telling the spies, it's not just about me, it's about my family too. Please help my family. And that's where we stop. So we're going to pick up in verse number 14, as we start our conversation. So if you're walking, if you're in the gym, kind of getting your mind prepped and ready to go, if you're with the group, make sure you have your notes ready. And as we talk, I'm really looking forward to hearing what you guys think as we study and as we grow together. So here's where we want to start our conversation. I was reading a book this week, and there was a kind of like a personification of Jesus talking to a man dealing with some problems. And this is what the man said. He said, Jesus, I just don't think you care about me. That's what he said, number one. And then he said, number two, Jesus, I feel like something's wrong with me and you care for others more. And Jesus said, why? I want you to explain. And he said, well, when you look at the lives of others, it seems as if you have so much love and concern. It seems as if you have so much just empathy and sympathy for them. And I just feel like you don't give me the same amount. And Jesus nodded his head. He said, I can understand. And so the man said, it feels like also you've made things harder for me and you've given me difficulties. You've taken me down a path. You've taken me down a road that I didn't necessarily ask to be on, but you're taking me down there. And why is it that you chose me like the short stick to have to go down that road, but everybody else picked the right stick? So they have this perfect, not really perfect life, but they have this image of this life that I've always wanted. Why is it that I have to walk down this road? I picked the short stick. Why did you choose me for that? So Jesus looked at him and he said, well, if you look at the things I've given others and you look at the things that I've given you, he said, why are you looking so much at others? And then he mentioned this. He said this. When you look at what you have, and when you look at your difficulties, and when you look at the things that I'm not taking away, maybe it's not about the things that I can give or the things that I've given other people or the places I've taken people. Maybe it's not about that. Maybe you're missing the point. And the man said, well, how could I be missing the point? It doesn't make sense. And this is what Jesus said. He said, throughout all of this journey of where I've decided of what's best for you, he said, do you trust me? And the man said, it's hard. It's hard to trust you right now because it seems like if I'm defective than others. It seems like others have something that I don't have. So why would you say trust you? And then Jesus went on to say, this journey of faith is about trusting me. Do you trust who I am? But notice at the end, he says this, do you trust who I am for you? I had a conversation with someone this week and we were studying together and we were talking about this idea of trust and we were talking about this idea of sometimes this struggle that we have in trust. And we both came to this kind of consensus, and maybe you have this too, and maybe you can understand this, you have a certain level of faith and trust in others that you believe, man, if you would just listen to God's word, if you would just change your heart, if you would just follow him, if you would just let Jesus love you, and if you would let him understand you and you understand him, you have no idea how far he could take you. You have no idea the people he could bring into your life. You have no idea how he could change your life. Well, why do you say that, Jordan? Why do you say that, so-and-so? Why do you say that? Because I've seen him do it for so many other people. And maybe you have such a faith that the friends around you, the family around you, the brethren around you, the congregation around you have so much faith in everybody that you meet that if they would just know Jesus, Jesus could literally transform them. You have so much faith in them. But then when it's turned back on you, for some reason, you don't have enough faith to say that God does that for me, or he could. It's a weird thing. It's a weird thing sometimes that we could look at someone and we could see the life that they're living and we can understand the past that they had. But sometimes it doesn't matter. We just know God's going to help you. How do you know that? That doesn't make sense. Just trust me. It's going to happen. And then when it happens, I told you. But then for some reason, you don't have that same confidence and trust that God could do that for you. You understand what I'm saying? Is anybody else in this boat? Trust is a thing with God that he's trying to get us to understand. Trust is not something, as we learn and grow and mature with God, trust is not something that we should just have for others. It's good to have. But the basis of the root of trust is, do you trust God for yourself? When you think about Rahab, the life that she lived. Now, like we talked about in the second podcast and the first one, whether she was put into that profession, into harlotry for her family's sake, or she was put into it because this is the only thing that's left. No matter what she decided to do, at some point when Rahab was just hearing the things that God has been doing, and that's the thing. That's the thing. We're going to get to that. Rahab, remember we looked at in part two, she heard what God had done. This is verse basically 10 to 12 in chapter two. We heard about what happened in Egypt. We heard about what happened in Og. We heard about what happened in Sihon. We heard about what happened in the wilderness. We heard about all those things. And it's interesting that as Rahab was talking about this, she doesn't just say, well, God is just a God for you guys. And that's where we slip up and fall today. And if you haven't had that mindset, I guess that's a human thing to do. But notice what Rahab is saying. Rahab didn't say, man, that God that I'm hearing about, that God that is changing people, that God that is splitting seas, that God that is conquering, that God that is providing, that God that is loving and following you, he's just for you. I feel like for me, I know him. I've heard of him. I understand and I agree that he's a good God. I just don't believe he could do the same thing that he did for you, that he could do that for me for some reason. And that's where a lot of us are. In our faith, we hear about what God has done for others. We hear about how God has taken people from such a dark and dirty past, and we see where they are now. We see the life that they live now. It's just like, man, that's so great for them. I just don't believe God could do it for me, though. There's too many obstacles. I don't believe it. I don't have the same opportunity. It's just not for me. What Rahab is going to teach us, what the younger sister, the younger harlot is going to teach us, is that you have to trust God for you. If you spend your whole life, and you could be an amazing, great, sweet, great person, and you could trust God with all of your heart for others, but the end of your life is going to be unfulfilling because you never trusted God for yourself. And I don't want you guys to catch yourself and live like that for the rest of your life in this trap where you have so much faith trust me, it is an amazing thing. And through this podcast, I've seen it. It's an amazing thing to see people when you meet them and they're broken on the ground and you've seen them change, that shows the proof of God. So I'm not saying that that's not amazing and you shouldn't see that. But what I am saying is don't just focus on just that. Focus that same God that did it for that person is your God too. He belongs to you too. He pursues you and he wants you too. And Rahab doesn't just say, well, I'm just hearing things about God. Rahab wants to trust him more. And maybe that's where you and I need to be a little bit more, okay? So we're going to call this one Rahab, I trust you, right? Rahab, I trust you. All right, so let's pick up in verse number 14. All right, so it says this. So the men answered her, right? Now, this is right after we picked off in 12, 13, where the men, where basically Rahab said, she mentioned everybody. She said, my father, my mother, my sister, my brother, please take care of them when this happens, okay? Then verse 14. So the men answered her and said, our lives are yours. If none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be, now watch the language here. And it shall be when the Lord has given us this land. Isn't it interesting that when the men were sent out in verse 1, Joshua just said, go view the land, right? So they come into that land not knowing if they could take it, right? They're that hints being a spy. You don't know if you could take it. Now, isn't it interesting because of all the things that Rahab said and the faith that Rahab instilled in those spies, when they talk back to her in verse 14, they don't say, well, God might do this. So if he does this, then we'll do whatever you say. Notice the trust level exchange that's happening in 14. Rahab is trusting the spies that they'll keep their word. The spies are trusting Rahab and her family that they'll keep their word. Rahab is trusting God that he keeps his word and his faithfulness. And then the spies are trusting God that he'll keep his word and faithfulness. So what happens if within this exchange, that one level of trust from one party is completely broken, then this doesn't happen. So many dominoes don't happen if trust doesn't happen. And here's the thing too. A lot of times we don't trust because sometimes as we've walked through this life, sometimes as we've grown and matured, and sometimes as others have grown and matured, there's been instances in our lives where trust has been broken. And maybe trust has been broken for you multiple times to where now it feels as if you don't want to trust and you feel like you don't have the ability or the capability to trust anymore. But here's the reality, right? We call this when the scriptures become real, because sometimes we have to be very real with you. Right. And we want you guys to understand these concepts in order for your relationship with God, that him first, we'll get to others later. But in order for your relationship with God to flourish and to go to the next level, you're going to have to trust him. Well, Lord, you disappointed me. Lord, you took this away. Lord, you took me down this path. Lord, you put me down this path. Lord, you isolated me. Lord, you have to trust him. If you do not trust him for yourself, your life is not going to be the joyful, fulfilling life that it can be within him. It's going to be an apathetic, question, confusing life. And I don't want that life for you. I don't want that life for myself. So your trust level for him is going to have to change. You're going to have to grow to trust him. Then as you grow to trust God, then the next step is going to be very difficult as well. When people come into your life, yes, they have the ability to break that, but you have to trust them too. Think about Jesus for a moment. Sometimes we put our walls up and it's almost like a defense mechanism to us, because if we trust someone or if we trust God to a certain extent, then it breaks down our barriers and we don't want to break down our barriers. Therefore, we don't want that trust level to be broken. So we kind of hold up barriers and shields towards everybody because I don't want you to break my trust again. You think about Jesus. And you think about, yes, he knew everything and he was God. But you got to understand from his human emotion. Peter, the disciples, I trust you. I trust you. But then what did they ultimately do time and time again? They broke his trust. So did that stop Jesus from being vulnerable to God to pray to him about them? And did it also stop Jesus from being vulnerable to them? Never did. But sometimes, and I understand, I understand with things you have to be prayerful. You have to be wise with things. But we've taught this level of self-love so hard. And there's importance to love yourself. I'm not saying there's not. But that can turn into subtle pride. And you think it's healthy, but down the line it could turn into self-pride. And next thing you know, you find yourself not being like Christ. So this trust level of exchange that's happening in 14, if one cord of trust is broken, then we're done for. So each party had to trust each other. But then each party, as they trusted each other, they had to trust God at the same time. Okay? So this is a huge lesson from here, from verse 14. So then it shall be when the Lord has given us this land. Now notice that brings confidence to them. We will deal kindly and we will deal truly with you. Verse 15. So when she let them down by the rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall, she dwelt on the wall. She said to them, now remember the pursuers left before earlier, right? We saw that earlier in chapter 2. So the pursuers are out looking for those spies. So then what Rahab says, go to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there for 3 days. And until the pursuers have returned, then afterwards you can go your way. So the man said to her, we will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear. Unless we've come into this land and you bind this line of scarlet cord down the window through which you let us down, unless you bring your father and your mother and your brothers and all your fathers and household to your own home. This is kind of a little, I don't want to call it it is foreshadowing to Jesus, but it also goes back to remember in Exodus when they had to put the blood of the lamb on the door and you had to be inside in order before the angel of death came. So think about the scarlet red cord representing the blood of Christ. And I love what they said. Your brothers, your sisters, your mother, they cannot escape this unless they're in your house. Well, was it because it was Rahab's house? No, it was your house because the cord is there. The representation of blood is there. So they have to be inside. And if they're not inside, then this can't happen. So think about the blood of Christ, what that does for us. The blood of Christ places us inside the body of Christ, right? So now you think about the beauty of imagery and foreshadowing, and you look at how all these stories and things connect. But all of this that's being built from 14 to 18, it's learning to trust God. Now, here's a concept, just a quick side note. Here's a concept that I want to bring up that hopefully this can, I've never thought about it this way, but this was huge. I heard something yesterday. There's a football player, and he was talking to a motivational speaker, and he told the speaker, what are you talking about today? The speaker told him, he said, are you talking about kind of like the playbook of life? He said, yeah, kind of like that. And so the football player said this. He said, here's what's interesting and what I had to learn. My 4 years I spent in college, my 8 years I spent in the NFL. He said, everywhere that I went, I memorized and I lived by the playbook. I lived by it and I memorized it. I knew everything. I knew every check. I knew where to go. I knew every audible. I knew everything. But then he said, you know what people don't talk about? Motivational speaker said, well, what don't they talk about? He said, I had the same coach in college for 4 years and I had the same coach in the NFL for 8 years. All those plays that I memorized, all those things that I lived by, he said it belonged to that coach. So he said, what if I would have memorized everything the coach wrote down, but in memorizing everything and understanding everything the coach wrote down, that didn't lead me to know the coach better. It just would have made me book smart on the playbook. So you think about us. Learning to trust God. And I want you to understand this concept and get this concept. You cannot learn to trust God if the only thing you do, I've memorized the Bible backwards and forwards. I've memorized dead languages. I know all the Greek. I know all the Hebrew backwards and forwards. I know every conjugation. I know everything. I can do all this stuff. I know all this history. I know all this. That's wonderful. And that those are tools that are used if it's used in the right way. But if you just focus your life, young women, young men, young preachers, older preachers, if you just focus on that, what if as you walk through life, you do all of that, but you don't know who wrote it? We can miss it. Well, Jordan, that's not possible. That's not possible because if we know the word, if we know all these things, if we memorize it, we talk about Psalm 119, we talk about Psalm 72, we talk about Psalm chapter 1, we meditate on the word day and night, we memorize it, we know it, we write it on the tables in our hearts. Are you saying that's wrong? You see the mindset that we have? So if that's not possible, then why did the Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes exist? Men whose lives was dedicated to the memorization and living of the law. Why did they exist? Here's my second question. Then, why weren't they as close to Jesus as tax collectors and sinners were? Luke 15:1-3. And then on top of that, if we really want to go backwards and have some more history, then why, if it were for every single king in Israel whose job, as you know, whose job was to memorize and to write down the law, then how come they weren't close to God sometimes? So is it possible that you can know the law? Is it possible that you can know scripture and still miss Jesus? If you're honest, your answer is yes. If you're not honest, you're going to fight this idea. And I fought this idea before. So here's the goal. And we say this all the time here. The goal is not to know. The goal is not to know more scripture for the sake of knowing scripture. The goal of scripture is to know Christ who wrote it, to know his heart, to know him more, to ask more questions about him, to have what he wrote, the evidence that I know he exists from scripture, from the Old Testament to the New. Lord, you exist. I see your picture all throughout the Old Testament. Lord, you exist because you physically lived as a man here. You gave the greatest sermon ever in Matthew 5:6-7. You lived your life. Your church was established. All these things, all this evidence that's in the scripture, it should lead me to want to know his heart more. But sometimes we just want to look impressive towards others. Look at all this scripture that I know. Look at how I can put a lesson together. Look at the tone and the inflection of my voice and how my voice sounds like the voice of God. See how I do all, you see what we do? We make everything about this outward thing. And sometimes you don't know that you can get caught in that and it becomes so subtle. And one day you're going to see something and it's just going to, what am I doing? And sometimes other people can tell you, hey, man, you may want to slow down. Hey, man, you might want to check this. Hey, man, you might want, but you're not going to listen to that because you're so caught in to what you think you're doing. But then once you see, and once the Lord is patient enough with you to see, maybe I'm looking at this the wrong way. Think about what Rahab is doing. Rahab is learning to trust in what she's heard. What is faith? Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Everything Rahab said in Joshua chapter 2, verses 12 through 15, what did Rahab hear? She heard the word of God. And then what did that produce in the heart of this harlot Canaanite woman? It produced faith. You see, sometimes we just want to hear the word of God and say the word of God to prove to other people that I know the word of God. And you can sadly live your life like that and you will never know. But if the word of God does not cause me by faith to want to know him better, we've missed the point. We've missed the point. And Rahab is seeing it. And I want you, I pray you as friends and people that I know and great people that I've learned to know from this podcast, the word of God should lead you to know his heart more. Please just don't miss the point of it. Sometimes we can miss the point of it all. Sometimes the only point of it all is I just want to put together a great lesson. I just want to put together a great podcast. I just want to put together a great manuscript. I just want to put together the greatest sermon. I just want to put together the greatest speech. I just want to put together the greatest Bible class. I just want to put together the greatest. So then when you think about it, then if that's your mindset, or if that's the people that listen to you, if that's their mindset, then you're going to always have to top what you did before. And eventually, you're going to get tired and you can't sustain that. And you're doing something great. And that's the crazy part about it. You won't be able to sustain it. But think about what Rahab is doing. Rahab is just learning to trust God. The evidence is just causing me to trust him more. That's it. That's it. So then watch verse 19. They continue to say, so it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house on the street. Now, if they're outside without this cord, if they go outside, his blood will be on his own hands and we will be guiltless. And whoever is in you, whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. So if someone's outside the house and something happens to them, we're guiltless. We're trusting each other here, Rahab. Then if someone's in the house and something happens, then it's our fault. So then it'll be on us. Now, verse 20, and if you tell this business of ours, this is the third time they've said this. If you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath, which you swore. We'll be free from it if you say anything. So again, notice this trust level back and forth. They're giving conditions now. And now here's the beautiful thing about this. Now, I'm not saying that this is wrong. This is based on the situation here. This is needed. But here's the principle. Okay. I want to make that very clear. Based on the situation that's happening right now in Joshua 2, this exchange, this back and forth between Rahab and the spies is needed. Hey, if you do this, you know I'm free. Hey, if you do this, then we'll do it. This is necessary, okay? But you know how Jesus, actually how Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul explains how high, how wide, how deep, and how long the love of God is, and that we should know his love, verse 19. Then verse 20, now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly more, right? Here's the beauty of knowing this from the Old Testament, how this is going to foreshadow to Jesus down the line. As Jesus is showing the love of God to us and how he trusted his Father, as he trusted his Father, I want you to notice that Jesus never gave his Father conditions. Well, Father, I'll only do what you say if I really don't have to suffer. Father, I'll do what you have to say if I can have some things my way. Father, I'll do what you have to say if I don't have to go through this alone. Notice the infinite love of Jesus. Now, everybody here in Joshua 2 is still learning what that is. Me and you right now, we're still learning what that is. But Jesus is that, right? 1 John. God is love. Jesus is, they're the embodiment of what agape is. So the Father and the Son, notice the level of love that they have between one another. There's no contract. Now, what Jesus teaches us is that if we're going to learn to trust God, then after we trust God, if I'm going to learn how to trust a person that I'm dating, if I'm going to learn to trust my wife, if I'm going to learn to trust other brethren, if I'm going to learn to do that, then if I look at how Jesus trusted God, I'm going to have to learn to trust God, and I'm going to have to learn to trust people without a contract. So what's happening here? A contract exchange. But what does Jesus teach us, and what love does he expect us to have? It's not about a contract. It's about you showing the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom? Matthew chapter 5, the kingdom is the heart that I showed you. And I think that's a lot of times that's what we miss. Now, here's the part that now at this point in your Christian life, even if you're listening, now this is the point where we have 1,000 what if questions. Well, what if this happens? It's kind of like Peter. Well, I get the concept of what you said, but let's say this situation. So now we're going down 1,000 what ifs. We're not going to do that. If you look at what Jesus said, it takes faith to just trust what he said, But sometimes when we put the what if situations in there, it proves to us and to God that we don't trust him fully yet. Because we're trying to make a contract to try to not do what he said fully. And when you do what Jesus says fully, when you fully trust God, when you fully trust other people, guess what God does sometimes, guys? And I just want you to be prepared for this. Guess what God does sometimes? Sometimes God breaks your heart. Maybe it's something you don't want to happen. Sometimes he breaks your heart. Why? So you can get closer to him. Sometimes he doesn't give you what you want. Sometimes he never does. Sometimes he takes it away. So what are we going to do? Not trust him anymore? So if God does that to us, we have to come into relationships with our brethren, relationships with our spouse, relationships with family, relationship. We have to come into those relationships knowing, I trust you, but that doesn't mean you're not going to do something. I trust you, but that doesn't mean you're not going to disappoint me and I'm not going to disappoint you. I trust you. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to hurt you or you're going to hurt me. But despite that, I'm still trying to show the love of God. So sometimes what we have to do, guys, we just have to trust him. What do we talk about in the beginning? Do you trust me for you? Trust is a difficult road. It's the right road, right? It's the right road. But trust is a difficult road. I mean, I'm still on that road sometimes. Like, God, it's hard to trust you right now. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not going to sit here and say, well, I've always trusted God. This is just my personal thing. And again, I don't have anything against people that do this, but it's hard for me to have that attitude. Well, I've always trusted God my entire life. Have you though? I think sometimes we want to have this image or this projection that we're this person, that we're that guy, that we're that. I'm just not going to do that. Sometimes it's hard, Lord. It's hard to trust you right now. It's hard to trust you right now. But when you look at what's happening here, they're trying to build that. And then this is what we do with Christ. We build that. Verse 20 or verse 21. Then she said, according to your words, so be it. Isn't that interesting? Think about that phrase. Now think about everything Rahab said. Rahab said, basically from chapter 2, from verses 12, no, basically 10 to 12, she just said all the words God said basically from Exodus, right? Exodus to this point. Now think about what she just said. According to your word. What did Jesus say later on? My words shall never pass away. Trust the word. John chapter 1. How does John describe Jesus? In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. He is the word. So now notice what she's foreshadowing to. According to your word, those that follow God, just let it be. You know what? You know that's what amen means? Let it be so. Lord, help me to trust you more. Help me to trust you in your guidance of my life. Help me to trust my guidance, your guidance in where you want me to go. Help me to rejoice with others where you've taken them. Help me to weep with others where they are now. Lord, just help me to know you more through the evidence that you've given me through your word. I am thankful for the word that you have given. The word is the sword of the spirit, but help me to know the wielder of the sword more. Amen. So let it be. Guess what Rahab is saying? Everything you said is basically, it's like God is saying it to me. So therefore, because your words are coming from God's spies, amen to it. Why? Because God said it. Life becomes simpler, guys. And this is the lesson I've learned in the past. But this is a lesson that the Lord is still teaching me now. Because God said it, that's enough. Jordan, I want you to forgive. Well, Lord, what if this happens? Jordan, I want you. But Lord, what if they keep doing? I want you to forgive. Well, Lord, what if they just keep doing this over and over? Amen. Jordan, I want you to be meek. Well, God, you don't understand. If I just keep doing this, they're gonna walk over me like a doormat. I want you to be meek. Well, if you don't understand, that's just gonna keep doing this. Amen. And you can walk through all Matthew 5, every attitude that he wants us to have. Be meek. Be poor in spirit. Be a peacemaker. All these things you can go down the line in Matthew chapter 5. Be merciful. Well, Lord, if I'm merciful, then they're gonna take advantage of my mercy, and I'm tired of being taken advantage of. I'm tired of being last. But that's what you said. Here's what we try to fight as humans. We try to fight our own human nature. God, I know what you said, but human nature is they do and I do the opposite. So in order for that opposite not to happen to me, God, there's got to be a roundabout way to do what you said. Just do what I said. Just because you do what I say, Jordan, does not mean that people won't take advantage of you. Just because you do what I say, Jordan, doesn't mean that people still won't be resentful and bitter towards you. Just because you do what I say doesn't mean that you'll never get hurt. I just want you to do what I say. Well, Lord, I'm just trying to avoid. I just don't want this. I just don't want them to. Just do what I say. Here's the lesson that the Lord is teaching you, and this is the lesson that the Lord has taught me. Jordan, put your name there. Whatever I say, just say amen. Let me handle the rest. It doesn't mean you're not going to go through fire. It doesn't mean that things will. Just let me say. Just do it. According to your word. According to your word. Think about what Peter did. Peter learned this lesson. Remember on the boat? Lord, we've been toiling all night. What is this? Luke 17? Let me double check. What is that? Luke 17? Luke 15? No, that's early. I think he'd been saying, what, we've been toiling all night? Let me look that up. So let's find that. I believe that's Luke. Let me double check. Because I really want you to see that. That is such a great comparison. Lord, according to thy word. That is... Let's see, Book of Luke, Peter. We will let down. This is why you have a computer, guys. We will let down the net. Let me double check. I know I had this close. Luke 5. I almost had it. I don't know why I was thinking 15. It was Luke 5. I knew it was in Luke. Look at Luke 5 real quick. So remember what Rahab said. Rahab talked about... according to your word, right? Let it be. Now, one quick example, and then we'll close this out. So Luke 5, notice what happens here. So they've been fishing all night. So that's some of us. We know what God said, but we've been fighting the natural human emotion of what people do. So then what have we been doing, just like Peter and the disciples? Well, we've been kind of fishing all night too. So did you know that we can spend our entire lives knowing what God said, but just because I'm trying to avoid what humans can do, I won't fully do what God says. So I'll be fishing, and year after year goes by in my Christian life, and I kind of not even halfway do what he says. I know the principle, but I'll just never execute it because I'm afraid, because I know people. That's what we say. Well, I know people, and I know that they're just going to do this, so God, I just can't do this fully. That's Peter. But then watch what happens. Verse 4, when he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Isn't it interesting? If we're going to trust God, if we're going to really say amen to what God wants us to do, you have to go deeper in your trust, and you're going to have to go deeper in your faith towards God. You're going to have to go deeper. Verse 5, Simon answered and said, Master, we have toiled all night and we've caught nothing. But watch what he says. Watch the foreshadowing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will. Until we get to the point, guys, where we just say, Lord, I know that if I do this, it's very possible that others still won't be merciful. I know that if I do this, it's possible some will never forgive. I know that if I do this, it's possible that no one will ever want to make peace. I know if I do this, that others will call me weak. I know if I do this, this will happen. But here's where your trust in God changes. When you say, I know that stuff is going to be present, but nevertheless, once your faith gets to a nevertheless faith, it's time. We're going to the moon now. This is different now. This is different faith. Nevertheless. So what type of faith does Rahab have here now? She has a nevertheless faith. That's crazy. This changes everything. Changes everything. Now let's close it. Let's go back to Joshua 2. All right, so let's finish this out. So as we look at this, he says, nevertheless, at your word, we'll let it down. So then they departed. She bound them out, verse 21. Verse 22, they departed. They went to the mountain. They did what she said. Stay there 3 days until the pursuers return. They sought them all the way, and they still couldn't find them. So the two men returned. They descended to the mountain. They crossed over. Then they came to Joshua. Now remember, what does Joshua remember? He was a spy once too. And he remembers when he came back with Caleb, we can take this, but he also remembers 10 other people not having faith, saying we can't take it. So notice the news that Joshua gets. And they told him everything that happened. But then verse 24, watch this. And then they said to Joshua, truly, not we don't know, not we might be able to do this. Truly, the Lord has delivered just the part that Rahab lives in. Just that section of the wall. Truly, the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands. For indeed, all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. So then they rose the next morning, chapter 3. They overtake Jericho. They save Rahab and her family, as they promised. And the cord was there. And the beautiful thing about this is because of this level of trust in this exchange, because of what happened here, now Rahab, and here's what's kind of cool. Now, we don't know this, right? This is just Jewish history, but this is kind of cool. Let's say this is true. Now, we don't know this, but this would be cool if this was true. When you trust God, God is going to take you down roads that just don't make sense. He's going to make you trust people that most likely you probably wouldn't have trusted before. He's going to make you change your thinking on people. He's going to make you change your thinking about him. It's said in Jewish history. This is so cool. It's said in Jewish history that one of the spies, guess what his name was? Salmon. And guess who Salmon marries? He marries Rahab, who trusted God. And because of her trust, then guess who their son is? Boaz. And isn't it interesting that Boaz saved somebody just like his mother saved Israel? And then you have a line of men from Boaz and Salmon. From their line, you have a line of redeeming men who redeemed women. All of this line is work that Jesus was going to do later. If that's not ridiculous, I don't know what is. But you think about from Rahab's perspective, it's beautiful from a woman's perspective. A Canaanite harlot, whether she was put into it or whether she chose this profession, now she is a part of Israel. She is a part of the people of God. And she knows God now. She heard about him before. Now she's learning about him. And now you have a man in Salmon who shows the attributes of God to her. And because you have this union, then you have the line of David. And then you have Ruth. And you have Rahab in the line of Jesus Christ. That scarlet cord keeps going and going and going. How cool is that? But all this, just trust me. According to your word, nevertheless, let it be. If we can have that type of faith, guys, I'm telling you, and I'm working towards it. The concept is so amazing, and I'm working towards this too, and I'm asking the Lord to help me with this. But guys, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And if there's something we can do as we kind of, if you've taken notes, that we can talk together, that we can grow together, that we can help you out, please, please reach out. You're not the first one. People reach out all the time. We want you to be a part of what we got going on here. We want to get to know you. I want to get to know you. This is just, it's an amazing thing that we have here, and it's an amazing opportunity that we have that we can just talk scripture. We can pray with each other. There's phone calls. There's Zoom calls. No matter what you want, this is what we do together. So that's our Rahab series. It's been so fun. We're going to have more Women of the Bible series down the line. Not sure where we're going to go Monday yet, but we'll see. We may take I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what we'll do Monday. But love you guys, man, so much. We appreciate you guys. If there's anything we can do to help you and encourage you, reach out. We want to be here for you guys. And Lord willing, we will be back with another podcast on Monday. Thanks, guys.